Father, we thank you again for your grace to us.
天上的父啊，我们谢谢您为了您给我们的恩典。
Lord, at this morning we have gathered together to study your word.
今天早晨我们聚集起来学习您的话语。
We pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes.
我们的祷告是求您开我们的眼。
That we might see wonderful things out of your word.
能让我们借着您的话语看见那美好的事。
But Lord, give us obedient hearts.
也给我们顺服的心。
Lord, we might be quick to obey the words of our Lord Jesus.
能够让我们从里面很快的能够顺服，也接受神的话。
And so, Lord, now just cover us with your love.
用您的爱遮盖我们。
And instruct us by your Spirit.
借着您的圣灵来引导我们。
Because we need you, Father.
因为我们需要你啊，父。
Without you, we're nothing.
因为没有你，我们真的什么都不是。
And Lord, we want to thank you for just being the God you are.
我们也谢谢您，您是如此好的一位神。
In revealing yourself to us in that lovely man, the Lord Jesus.
您借着那有爱的这一位耶稣基督，把您自己启示给我们。
So help us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name.
今天早晨帮助我们，奉主耶稣基督的名祷告。
Amen.
We've been looking at different ways that we can approach the Bible. How to study the Bible is, I guess, the question.
我们一直在这个话题里啊，就是怎么样来学习圣经、读经的一些方法和原则。
And the very first thing we understand when we approach the Bible.
当我们来到圣经面前啊，第一件我们要做的事情呢
？This extraordinary book.
因为我们要认识到这是一本很特别的书。
People have tried to destroy this book.
地上的人曾经很努力想要毁掉这本书。
They persecuted those who believe in the book.
他们也逼迫那些相信这本书的人。
But every year, this is the best-selling book every year since its publication.
那自从这本书付诸印刷以来，这依然是每一年销量最好。
Now, what gives this book so much particular power is that it's the Word of God itself.
是什么给这本书一些特别的力量呢？因为它就是从神来，直接从他来的话语。
That is, God is speaking. God has spoken to mankind.
所以神呢，已经对人说话。
And as we open the book, we read many times, and God said.
所以圣经里我们翻开来的时候，经常会读到这样的话，说神说。
Or God spoke to Moses, or Abraham, or David, saying.
或者神对摩西说，或大卫说，神对亚伯拉罕说，神直接在说。
So we know that from the Bible itself, it tells us that it is God's word.
所以从圣经知道呢，这就是神的话。
The other thing to remember is that it's all God's word.
或者换句话说呢，第一件我们要知道是，就是这不但是神的话，而且全都是神的话。
Men wrote the words down with using pen and ink.
写这个的书的人只是用了笔和墨啊，把这个字写下来。
The word came through man, and it's to man.
这个话呢是借着人来写下写下来的，而且这个话也是给到人来用的。
But we must never forget when we open this Bible, it's God's holy word.
但是我们要不要忘记，当我们打开来，这就是神的自己那圣洁的话。
And it's God's love letter to us.
这也是神写给人的情书。
Now some people say, well, the Old Testament God is different than the New Testament God.
有的人会这么说，旧约的神和新约的神是不一样的。
He's the same God.
他是个一样的。
Must never forget, God is a holy God.
神是个圣洁的神。
But he's also a righteous and loving God.
他同样也是一位公义有爱的神。
And so God in the scriptures, as you look, he's always reaching out to man.
所以在圣经里你看见神总是出来到来寻找人呢。
And that's why God spoke through man, to man.
这也是为什么神会借着人说话，也把这些话给到人类。
And the whole purpose of the scripture is to God revealing himself to man.
所以整本圣经的目的就是神把自己启示给人，让人认识他。
And we read that in ancient times, God spoke to the forefathers of Israel through the prophets, but in these last days, He's spoken to us in His Son.
我们都知道，在古时啊，神借着先知啊，多次多方的晓谕列祖，也就是以色列的那些列祖们。今天，他借着他的儿子对我们说话，就是耶稣基督。
As we approach Scripture, the first thing we understand is that it's God's revealing Himself in His Son to us.
所以第一件我们要知道，神借着他的圣子基督来把自己启示给我们看。
The Old Testament is the preparation for that.
旧约只是一个预备。
It's to show man his need of a Savior.
他告诉我们有需要救主的里面的需要。
And the New Testament is the showing forth of God's plan of salvation in Christ Jesus.
新约呢就把这样的一个启示呢借着耶稣基督给出来。
And the Gospels give us the historical account of his coming into the world and his death on the cross for sinners.
所以圣经借着历史呢也告诉我们他来到地上然后为我们的罪死在十架上。
And then the rest of the book of Acts tells us the history of the new movement of Christianity.
然后《使徒行传》呢就在讲基督升天之后那初代教会的那一系列的事情。
And all the letters of that are written by the apostles from Romans to Jude, they are all show, they explain the gospel. The doctrine of the gospel.
后面就紧跟着书信，从罗马书直到犹大书，就一直在讲不同的角度来解释这福音。
And then the book of Revelation ends with the one who was rejected upon the throne reigning over all the world.
那最后的启示录呢，就告诉我们那一位被人拒绝的救主最终要来地上作王，他现在已经在。高天啊，神的右边。
And all the redeemed gathered around the Lamb who's on the throne.
所有那被赎的都要最终聚集在那为我们死的羔羊面前。
So that's the first thing when we approach Scripture, we realize that it's God's love letter to us.
所以这是我们意识到的，就是神的情书给到人。
It condemns man's sin.But it provides a perfect remedy in Jesus.
既让我们知道我们是罪人，那同时也给了我们一个完美的救赎方式在基督里。
So the next thing, though, is that when we pick up the book, we want to read. How do we read it?
所以下一个事呢，就是我们翻开这书啊，我们要读。那我们怎么读呢
？Is it some mysterious language that only the monks in a cave, spending a lifetime of study and meditation, can understand.
是不是一些奇妙的神秘的话？一个洞里的猴子，他一生默想，他就能想明白的呢
？No, it's God communicating to us directly.
这不是，这是神直接对人的说所说的话。
So it's to be read naturally, as in the way you'd normally read any book.
所以我们要用一样的我们读其他书一样的方式，我们也要这么来读这本书。
And the saying is, if the scripture makes sense, if what you read makes sense, don't look for any hidden meaning somehow.
就如果圣经本身字面已经能读懂的意思呢？你就不要尝试，一定要在外面找到一个隐藏的意思。
There's only one interpretation of Scripture.
那只有一个解释啊，对于圣经来说。
But there's many applications, and we'll look at that more carefully later on.
但是有很多的应用，就是真理它是独一的，但是这个真理上你怎么去应用在自己身上，是有很多的解释的。
The other principle of interpretation is that it's a history book.
那另外的一个角度呢，就是它是一本历史书。
And so you run into different things, cultural things, historical things.
所以你会看见有文化的、历史的角度。
And modern archaeology has done much to help us understand some of these ancient practices.
那今天的考古学者已经帮助我们了解了许多这个旧古时的这些证据。
And I might also say that with all the studies of the archaeology that have been done in the Middle East, it's the most intensely studied area of in the world.
所以有许许多多在今天中东啊，这个考古真是做了很多很多的工作，这可能是全世界做的最多的一个考古方向。
Now the Bible is full of names of cities and countries and people.
因为圣经里到处都是人名、地名、城市名、民族这些细节。
And not one name or city or country in the Bible or date has been disproven by modern science in archaeology.
今天的考古学证明了没有一个圣经里的人名、地名、日期。事件最终被证明，被考古证明是假的或错的，没有一次都没有。
So it's historically, culturally, absolutely perfect.
所以历史上的、文化上的，这是完全准确的一本书。
But sometimes you need a little bit of help to understand some of these strange historical things that are written about.
有的时候呢，我们却需要一些帮助啊，来理解。那个时候这个操作现在看来可能很奇怪。
To help you understand. So we have, there's Bible dictionaries, all kinds of them. We've looked at some of those.
这就是为什么我们需要一些工具书啊，字典之类的。
Another thing is the grammatical principle.
那后面我们原来提到的一个就是文法的。
What do the words actually mean?
这些词原意是什么？
You know, we have verbs and prepositions and the,you must look very carefully at the meaning of the words.
所以我们有动词、介词，所以我们要很小心，这些词本意是什么。
So that's another thing about Bible interpretation. Consider what the words actually mean.
所以这是另外一个我们读经的时候要注意的点。所以你要知道他用这个词在原文在这里，他到底想表达什么意思。
Now today we want to look at another principle.
那今天呢，这个我们刚才是回顾啊，我们今天要看另外一个主要的。
We could call it the synthesis principle.
或者我们管它叫呢，叫做以经解经的这个原则。
That is, Scripture is all unified.
就是圣经它是统一的，它是合一的。
Now the Scripture was written by some 40 some odd authors.
那圣经是差不多有四十个作者。
From Moses on through to Malachi, the prophets, you had psalms that were written by the sons of Korah and other people.
比方说呢，从最初的摩西五经，作者是摩西，到最后一卷旧约书马拉基书，作者是马拉基，当中的诗篇还会有一些作者，比如说是可拉的后裔啊。
In the New Testament, there was written by a number of the apostles.
新约呢，更是一群的使徒在写。
And so, they were written over a period of about 1,300 years, the Bible.
前后呢，花了差不多1,300年写成。
By about 40 different authors.
有40个左右的不同的作者。
And there were, the backgrounds of these people were all different.
有意思的是，这些人在地上的背景都不一样。
You had a scholar like Ezra And Paul, the apostle, they were great scholars.
有特别大的学者，比方说文士以斯拉，旧约的，新约的使徒保罗都是大的学者。
They were the outstanding men in the universities of their day.
或者说呢，他们是他们那个时代教学校大学里的这个老师，就是。
And you had a man like Amos who was a fig gatherer.
或者像阿摩斯 fig gatherer 是。
Like a farmer.
Oh, okay.
A blueberry farmer.
阿摩斯呢？他说他就是捡个捡捡无花果，就是农夫了，像我们的这个记得长老一样，种种蓝莓之类的。
You should taste the blueberries that this man grows. So.
Yes,
very good. The best. Yes.
他种的蓝莓是最好的。
You had generals like Joshua.
也有元帅将军，比如说像约书亚，就是将军。
Kings wrote some of the Bible.
还有王啊，像大卫也写了一些。
You had fishermen that wrote.
还有打鱼的渔夫也写的，彼得就是渔夫。
John and Peter, James,
约翰、雅各，这都打鱼的。
So you can see that.With this written over a long period of time, all kinds of different people in different circumstances, but it's all one tightly woven message of God.
你发现尽管那么长的时间，在不同的时地点、不同的环境、个人完全不同的背景，哎，他写出来的东西呢，却像一个紧密织成的一个毯子一样，就是一个完整的信息给出来。
And because the author, there's only really one author.
因为这里面只有一个作者。
And that is the Holy Spirit. That's
就是圣灵。
Second Timothy,
就是圣灵。
Chapter 3, verse 16.
我们可以读一节《提摩太后书》。
Second Timothy, chapter
3. 提摩太后书的三章十六节。376页，376，新约的376。
That first part of verse 16, this is all scripture is God breathed.
提摩太后书三章十六节，圣经都是神所默示的。
It had one life. It has one life.
只有一个生命。
And so this scripture that we have today, the Spirit of God was working in David when he wrote some psalms.
这样的圣灵呢，在大卫写诗篇的时候跟他在一起。
When he wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want."
他说呢，耶和华是我的牧者，我必不致缺乏。诗篇二十三篇。
It was the same Spirit that wrote through the Apostle John when he wrote, "I am the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep."
这也是同样这个圣灵带领约翰写约翰福音，说啊，我是好牧人，为我的羊舍命。
So from beginning to end, it's the same author that has written all those words for us.
就从开始到最后，这是同一个作者，他在写他自己的书。
Now different men were used of God as instruments of that revelation, but it was by one Spirit.
人只是神用来写出来的这个作者而已，但这并不是那最后的组织者。
So that's what we call the synthesis principle or unity of scripture.
对，所以我们可以把它叫做合一啊。Synthesis 就是 unity， 就是合一的意思。
Therefore, what would we consider if, as we read, if there's one author, there is one theme, and that theme is.God's love to man through Christ Jesus.
所以既然它是同一个原则呢，它就是有同一个作者就同一个原则，这个主题就是神爱世人。
So, some of the implications of this, first of all, we might say that there's no contradictions in the scripture.
所以第一呢, 我们要知道, 圣经是不矛盾的。
Now, people have tried to find contradictions.
人总是想从圣经里找矛盾。
And sometimes there appears to be contradictions in Scripture.
有的时候呢, 你看起来好像是有矛盾。
But on closer examination, we find that those contradictions are just apparent. They're not real.
所以如果我们进一步看呢, 我们就发现呢, 这样的一个矛盾呢, 是表面的, 它不是真实的。
And when we examine those so-called contradictions, often we find some beautiful truths unveiled.
如果我们仔细去查考这些表面矛盾的经文呢, 我们就在里面会看见一些很美的真理。
Another thing about the unity of Scripture is that you'll notice sometimes you come across a very obscure verse. You don't know the meaning of that verse.
那另外一个角度你来看这个合一的原则呢, 就是你有的时候碰到一些难解的经文, 模糊的。
You know, you can just leave that with God, ask Him what it means, and someday in the future, you'll be reading along and you'll find that there's the answer it explains exactly.
所以这个时候呢, 你可以做呢, 你可以先放下, 把它留给神, 然后呢, 祷告了, 然后就等了, 然后过了一阵呢, 你可能会在其他读的时候呢, 你会找到这个答案了, 神会在另外的地方告诉你。
And so this is another principle in, because if it's unified, is that a plain scripture will interpret an obscure scripture.
这就是呢, 你会看见一个很直白的一段经文, 能够帮助你解释呢看上去难懂的那段经文。
The mistake is to take some obscure verse and make and take it out of isolation and build your own doctrine on it using your imagination.
所以, 我们要警惕的方式呢, 就是你看到一段难解的经文, 你把自己的意思呢, 去建立在这段经文上, 你建立一个逻辑, 建立一个教义, 这个是非常危险的。
We're going to look at another principle later. It's called the illumination principle.
所以我们等会儿也会看啊, 就是一个 illumination, 就是照亮的这个原则。
That is, and I'll just briefly introduce it right now in this context.
我们在这个上下文里, 我简单讲一下这个原则。
If the Holy Spirit is the author of the book,
如果圣灵是书的作者,
and the Christian, when he believes, receives the Holy Spirit,
当一个基督徒相信主的时候, 他就接受了圣灵。
Guess what?
你猜怎么样呢?
We can ask the author. We know the author.
所以我们就可以直接问作者嘛, 因为我们认识这个作者。
And we can say, please, Lord, open up the scripture to me.
你说主啊, 请你把这个圣经解开给我听。
What does it mean?
这句话什么意思?
And he will reveal it to you.
他就一定会告诉你的。
On one condition.
啊, 这一个条件,
if you're willing to obey.
就是你愿意顺服他, 他就解给你听了。
Oftentimes we don't understand scripture because we're not willing to obey the next step.
很多时候呢, 我们 不能明白是因为我们不愿意在明白之后的下一步啊去顺服。
So God withholds light from us until we're walking in the light that we have.
所以神会把这个光呢收住，直到呢我们愿意接受这光呢，按照这光照亮去行，神我们就看见这光了。
Then He'll give us more light.
然后他会让我们找到更大的光。
And a greater understanding of Scripture.
更多对神的就经文的理解。
So if you to go back to our synthesis now, if there's some obscure text that we don't understand,
所以我们如果有一些模糊的经文的话,
pray for illumination.
所以祷告求神光照你,
God will reveal those things to you.
神就会把这经文解给你听。
Now there are things that I've been wrestling with for years, questions.
那有一些问题呢, 我可能几年里, 我都在很挣扎。
And I'm still not satisfied in my own heart that I have it right.
那我依然对于我心里有的这个 东西啊，答案是不是对我很模糊。
And I'm sure it's because of my stubborn heart that I'm not really yet completely willing to allow him in every part of my life.
我也很清楚，那是因为我自己没有完全愿意顺服在他里面，愿意他在我生命的一切方面掌权。
We all have that old nature within us that resists the Holy Spirit taking over.
所以我们里面的老我呢，一直有这样的一股力啊，要去抵挡圣灵来在我们里面掌权。
But in John's Gospel, the Lord Jesus said, "If you are willing to do God's will, then you will know what the Scriptures say."
约翰福音讲过这句话，他说你若愿意按照立志按照神的话去行，你就知道他所说的是不是是出于神还是不是。
So the synthesis principle, back to that.It's all one, unity of Scripture.
所以我们回到这个都是合一的这么一个原则上。
And so what I'd like to do today is take an example of a doctrine and show how that through right from the very beginning, from the Garden of Eden until we come to the paradise of God in the book of Revelation, there's a doctrines that run all the way through the scripture and are all woven together by many different writers in many different times.
所以我今天先可以看一个例子，就是从创世纪一直到启示录呢，你会看见有一些的真理，有一些的教义呢，它是不断的被启示，然后就像一个毯子一样，它被织成一体的。
So we'll see as we trace this doctrine, how unified scripture is. What a whole it is.
那我们来看它是怎么样成为一个整体的，我们会跟踪这么一些的真理。
And not only that, but we'll notice that revelation, when God reveals things, it's progressive. It goes from the simple and adds to it all the way through scripture.
不但如此，神启示真理的时候呢，它不是一直是一个级别，它是递进的。它是不停地往上加的，就是你越到后面的，你知道的越多。
It's just like when you're teaching a child, you teach the alphabet.
比方说你教孩子，你先教字母。
And then you begin simple words.
然后呢，再教一些简单的单词。
And then you begin to build sentences.
然后你再教他怎么造句。
And so on until they can read a story.
接着呢，他就开始可以读一个小故事。
And then it goes on from there, the education.
然后继续再往下，他慢慢就。越来越熟练。
So God begins it with the Old Testament. It's a picture book.
那旧约也是一样，就先是一个图画书。
And the doctrine I'd like to look at is the doctrine of, well, we call it salvation, we call it redemption. It's the main theme through the Bible.
所以我们今天我们要看的第一个一致的真理就是救赎啊，或者救恩。这是圣经的一个主题之一。
So we'll start right in the Garden of Eden. Turn to Genesis chapter 3.
那我们先从第一卷开始看起，创世纪的三章。
Genesis chapter 3.
创世纪三章。
Here in Genesis chapter 3, Genesis chapter 1 and 2, of course, is the creation of the world and of Adam and Eve.
那创世纪的一章和二章呢，是在讲亚当和夏娃被造啊。
They were put in the garden. They were to...Adam was told to keep the garden, to guard it.
他们被放在园子里，然后神使亚当看守这伊甸园。
And they were given everything in that garden. There was a perfect environment.
这是一个完美的环境，他们在这个园子里呢，给到的这个环境都是完美的。
They had all kinds of fruit of trees to eat. It was beautiful.
他们有各种各样的 果子去吃啊，非常美。
But you're going to know the story. Satan came in and began to cast doubt upon God's goodness.
所以你会看见呢，哎，撒旦开始来了，开始把神的良善上面呢放了一些怀疑啊。
And it probably awakened in Adam a curiosity of what the devil was talking about.
那这个很可能呢，是亚当里面起了一些好奇，哎，神到底想说什么？
Knowing good and evil.
哦，想知道善恶。
And so he was tempted.
他就有这试探了，想去吃了。
Now Eve was deceived.
那夏娃是先被骗的。
But Adam went into it with his eyes wide open.
但亚当却眼睛睁着，就也没有管。
And they ate of the tree.
所以他们俩都吃了。
That was forbidden.
这是禁果。
See, the test was man's will. Would he follow God's will or would they follow their own will?
所以这就是测试啊，是人的自由意志，你怎么选？你是愿意选择跟随神呢，还是跟随自己？
They chose to follow their own way.
他们选择自己的要决定要走的路。
What was the result?
结果是什么呢？
The first thing they realized that they feared God.
第一件他意识到的呢，就是他惧怕神。
And they saw they were naked.
然后看见自己是赤身露体的。
And they hid themselves in the trees from God.
所以他们把自己藏在树林里啊，从远离神。
Those trees that were to be a blessing to them now became their cover.
这些树本来是他们的祝福，现在只能去遮盖他们。
And then in verse 7, it says the eyes of the both of them were open and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves.
他们二人的眼睛第七节哈，三章七节就明亮了，才知道自己是赤身露体，便拿无花果树的叶子为自己编作裙子。
Their eyes were open. They understood good and evil, but their covering was exposed.
对，他们眼睛亮了，他们能识善恶了，然后他们的这个赤身露体的状态也显明了。
Now I make a suggestion. I don't find it in Scripture stated exactly, but their covering, because they were made in the image of God, was a covering of light.
They covered before, right?
Yeah,、
oh, okay.
before.
他说呢，这里原来为什么他们没有发现这样的一个事实呢？因为他们原来是有遮盖的。虽然圣经没有这么启示，但是我们可以大胆的这么猜啊，就是他们原来是被光遮盖的。
So that nakedness now, that light, that likeness that they had lost, exposed their nakedness.
所以这个光，在他一犯罪远离神之后，光一没了，他就赤身露体就显出来。
So they began to take leaves, fig leaves, and sew themselves a covering.
所以他们要拿那个无花果叶子啊，来遮盖自己。
Now you can imagine how long fig leaves. Fig leaves are pretty strong, but as far as leaves go.
但是你要知道，无花果叶子虽然很强，很厚，粗厚啊，作为叶子来说是不错。
But you can imagine the difference. From what they looked like before, with a halo of light, and now with these drying up fig leaves.
你可以比较一下这两个，一个是神圣的光啊，一个是一堆的叶子盖在自己身上。
It exposed more than just their physical nakedness.
而且这不但这个显明了，不但是这个物理上的这个赤身露体。
It exposed the very fact that they had now rebelled against God and they were sinful creatures.
他也显明了他现在已经悖逆了，神是一个有罪的受造物了。
No longer clothed in the light of righteousness or the robe of righteousness.
那不但现在再没有一个义袍穿在身上了。
But they're clothed in a fading leaves.
他们却用一个会 消失的、会腐烂的叶子盖在自己身上。
They realize it's not adequate.
而且他们的认知啊也不足够。
You know, that's like men and women today. They try to sew the fig leaves of religion on, cover themselves with good deeds and the type of, that's what religion is. Kind of a patchwork of natural things.
这个就像什么？就像今天的宗教，我们努力想用行为来显明自己是义的哈。这个动作就像拿无花果叶子遮自己啊，最终其实是会烂掉。
But as the prophet said, all those righteousnesses, they're really like filthy rags.
那圣经借着先知说呢，那一切人的好行为就像肮脏的抹布一样，在神眼里。
The first thing that man would have to learn is that there's only the righteousness that is only acceptable to God is the righteousness that He provides.
在神呢，唯一能够悦纳的这义呢，只有他自己提供的那义才能被悦纳。
Man tried to put on a self-righteousness, but it did not. It did not satisfy the eye of God.
人总是很努力想做一个自以为意的事，但是这些事都不是被神悦纳的。
It satisfied each other.
我们彼此能够接受，都觉得挺好。
I can imagine Adam saying, Eve, you look great.
我能想想亚当看着夏娃穿着无花果叶子的衣服，哎呀，你看起来真漂亮啊，他可以夸奖他。
But when God showed up,That fashion show ended pretty fast.
当神显明的时候呢，这样的一个时装表演就可以结束了。
And what did they do?
他们怎么样呢？
They ran and tried to hide themselves in the very trees that God had made for their blessing.
那他们就立刻跑了，躲到那树里面。那这树本来是神给他们祝福的，现在他们却躲藏
着。 So we know the story.
我们都知道这个故事了。
God seeks them out. Adam, where are you?
但是神却来寻找人啊。他说：“亚当，你在哪里？”
That was a question not that God was asking because He didn't know where Adam was.
但这个不是说神真的有这个问题，因为神是全知的，他当然知道是亚当在哪。
He was asking that question of Adam. Adam, where are you?
他是为了亚当来说这句话。他说：“亚当，你在哪里？”
Well.We know that what the story was. There is judgment, but there's also a promise made through the woman would come a redeeming seed.
所以我们知道后面的故事，虽然有审判，同样也有应许，就是借着那女人的后裔给出来的应许。
A seed that would destroy the serpent.
那女人的后裔要击杀这个蛇的。
A seed that himself would be wounded.
那女人的后裔呢是要受伤，但是蛇却要被击杀。
And so we get a little picture now of the promise of deliverance.
现在我们看见了一点点应许哈，然后神会要达成这个应许。
But that didn't do Adam and Eve any good.
但这个对亚当夏娃好像没有什么用处。
All the while God was talking to them and to the devil, their leaves were drying up worse and worse.
他在听着神讲这审判的时候呢，他那个树叶衣服肯定也只会越来越糟糕，会掉的嘛。
So in verse 21, what do we read?
21节他说什么呢？
God makes them a covering.
神给了他们一个暂时的遮盖了。
To cover their nakedness.
来遮盖他们的赤身露体。
Now he doesn't restore their original covering, does he?
神没有使他们立刻恢复原来的那个遮盖。
That's reserved for the saints in light in a future time.
这是为了一切的圣徒啊，在未来所存留的。
When we will walk with him in white.
我们在光中与他同行的时候。
The garments of righteousness.
义袍啊，白色的义袍会赐给我。
But what he does is he gives them a covering that is a picture of a future method by which he would provide those white garments.
所以他在这呢，也就给 这些人给亚当啊一个形象，就是让他知道未来神是会怎么把他们再救出来，会给他们预备一个义袍。
An innocent victim must give its life in order for them to be covered.
所以一个无辜的祭呢，祭物要被杀，来满足罪的审判的要求，以使他们罪，他们的赤身能被遮盖。
Now God didn't tell them to kill an animal and then make their own clothes at the first.
神并没有给他们一个命令说，哎，你们把一个动物杀了，然后用它的皮来做衣服，不是的。
God sacrificed those animals. He took an animal.
神做的这件神献的祭来杀的。
And he made the covering for them.
然后做成衣服给他们。
So now they're still sinners, aren't they?
但是呢，他们依然是罪人，不是吗？
But their sin is covered.
但他们的罪临时被遮盖了。
The garments there that God made them by sacrifice, an innocent victim had to give its life in order for them to be covered, for their sin to be covered.
那一个祭物被献上了，一只羊被杀了，然后他的罪呢被遮盖，他的就用这里一个比喻，就是皮子做了衣服给他们穿。
So right there in the Garden of Eden, we begin to see the beginning of sacrifice, innocent victim, in order that sin might be covered.
所以从创世纪一开始，我们就看见这样的一个主题，献祭来赎罪。
There's, and this is another theme, is that the sin was not taken away.
对，你会看见呢，这时候呢，罪并没有拿走。
It wasn't.Their sins were completely forgiven and forgotten by God.
那不是说他们的罪就完全神就不纪念了，不就赦免了，在这个时候还没有。
But they were covered over.
但是暂时呢，他被盖住了。
Until the perfect sacrifice.
直到那个完美的祭物来了。
When the Lord Jesus would come.
那就是耶稣基督来了。
But that's a story that's developing as we go through the Old Testament, because we're seeing how Scripture is a synthesis. It's a unity.
那这是一个主题，旧约它会不停的在启示更多，因为它是一个整体了。
Now we take one more before we take a break.
我们休息之前呢，再看一个点。
It doesn't take very long. We have the two sons that were born.
那现在呢，有两个孩子出生了。
Born to Adam and Eve.
亚当夏娃生的。
Cain and Abel.
该隐和亚伯。
Cain was the oldest.
该隐是大的
，Abel the younger，
亚伯小的。
In chapter 4 we read Adam lay with his wife Eve. She became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I've brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil.
四章，有一日，那人和他妻子夏娃同房，夏娃就怀孕，生了该隐。便说耶和华使我得了一个男子，又生了该隐的兄弟亚伯。亚伯是牧羊的，该隐是种地的。
Now Cain followed the footsteps of his father Adam, who was a tiller of the ground.
那该隐呢，跟随他的父亲。
Read that in verse 23 of the previous chapter.
因为二十三章呢，那个我们知道，哦不，三章的二十三节呢。耶和华神打发他出伊甸园去耕种他，所以亚当是种地，那该隐跟他爸种地。
But Abel kept sheep.
但亚伯去放羊。
Two different boys.
两个不同的孩子。
Now, verse 3. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord.
有一日，该隐拿地里的出产为供物献给耶和华。
So they're both. Well, we read verse 4. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock.
亚伯也将他羊群中头生的和羊的脂油献上。
The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor.
耶和华看中了亚伯和他的供物，只是看不中该隐和他的供物。
So here now we find something else. We find worship.
这里我看见另外一个主题，就是什么？就是敬拜。
They're, both of them are bringing offerings to God.
因为他们都拿了供物来到神面前。
They want to approach God that they might have fellowship with God.
他们想要接近神，跟神有一些爱的关系。
And how can a sinful man, come and approach a holy, righteous God?
怎么一个有罪的人能够来到并接近一个公义圣洁的神呢？
Even though God loves man, he's absolutely holy. Man cannot stand in the presence of a holy God.
那即便神如此的爱人啊，但是他是全然圣洁的，所以一个堕落的人呢是没有办法在公义的神面前站立得住。
No matter how hard you try,
不管你怎么努力，
you cannot please God.
你不可能得神喜悦。
Cain tried it.
因为该隐试过了。
He had to work hard.
因为该隐很努力的工作。
He tilled the ground. He got the very best vegetables and fruits that he could possibly get.
所以他犁地啊，他耕种啊，他能在地里找到最好的出产，他都拿出来了。
This was material for first prize at the county fair.
所以这个是一个市场里最好的那部分，那个头奖的，所以他等于把自己最好的东西拿出来。
He expected to get the blue ribbon for his efforts.
所以他可以拿到一个蓝色奖章啊，就是他的努力啊，其实就可以得奖了。
He would come to God and say, "Look what I've done, God."
但是来到神面前，你看我做的。
I've worked really hard. This is for you.
我做的如此努力，那这是献给你的。
Really, it's for me, but you know, I'm really okay, aren't I, God?
其实也是显明我还挺不错的，反正我拿了最好的给你。
God said no.
神说不。
He didn't respect that offering.
神并没有看重这供物。
Now Abel was different.
亚伯不一样。
A keeper of sheep.
他是个放羊的。
He wanted to come and approach God.
所以他想要来到神面前，这么样来接近神。
He realized he couldn't approach him in his own righteousness.
他知道他不能在自己的义里来接近神。
He knew he had learned from his parents.
他也知道他从他的父母那已经学到了功课。
They were covered. Their sin was covered by the blood of another.
那他们的罪呢，在当时是被另外的一个供物啊，一个祭物羊来遮盖的。
So he looked over his flock.
他看了他的羊。
And he looked at the very best that he had.
他挑了一只最好的羊。
He knew his flock. He was a good shepherd.
他知道他的羊，他是好牧人。
It says he took of the firstborn or the firstling, the firstborn of his flock.
他把羊群中头生的献上。
And it says of the fat, brought fat portions. That is the healthiest, the best that he had in his flock, the very firstborn. And he'd have to know his flock intimately to remember which one was the firstborn.
所以他一定是对他的羊群很了解，否则他不知道哪一只是头生的嘛。所以他要挑出那只头生，还要把羊最好的部分的脂油献上。
And some of them would know the flock that well would also be a good shepherd that would sacrifice himself for those sheep.
对，我们要知道，如果一个人对他的羊如此的了解哈，那他一定要把自己献给这群羊的，因为放羊是这样的。
He loved those sheep.
他是很爱这些羊。
Because he knew them so well.
因为他要很了解这些羊。
But he took the very best that he had.
他选了他有最好的。
And he killed that.
然后他把这个
innocent victim.
他把这个无辜的羊杀了。
Bringing it to God, he said, I approach you, O God, not in my own righteousness. Accept me through the life that has been given here. That innocent life.
所以他说他来到神面前，他意识到他的罪啊，那所以他就献上这无辜的祭物啊，求神来悦纳。
And God accepted him.
神就悦纳了。
Exactly how he accepted one offering and did not accept the other, we might speculate, but we're not sure.
那他为什么悦纳了一个，拒绝了一个呢？我们可以。他怎么接纳的我们不知道啊，我们可以猜一猜。
They would probably have brought it to the gate of Eden. That would be the place.
那也许他们是带到那个伊甸园的门口去的，因为他说这个当时是怎么样的一个形式不知道。
And on a Sabbath day.
也许是个安息日。
And there they would present their offerings to the Lord.
他们把自己的这个供物呢献给主。
And there was a sort of fire there at the gate of Eden.
因为在伊甸园的门口那时候已经有了那个四面发箭的这个
It turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life.
对 四面都被这个箭给挡住了，我们在前面已经看见。
Man was kept out from that.
人是不能进去的。
But he was accepted because of a life that was given, an innocent life that took the place of another.
但他被悦纳呢，是因为他献上了一个无辜的羊的生命来做祭物。
So Abel would come to the Lord, say, Lord, this life that is given is the substitute because my life was forfeit because of my sin.
所以亚伯说呢，这个我献上的是一个代赎的羊啊，因为我的生命是因着罪而堕落。
And he would come to worship them and to thank God for his mercy to him.
所以他来到神面前，为了神的怜悯而来敬拜他。
And so here we see the lesson of that now, not only is the sin covered over, but we see the idea of substitution in worship, in the approach to God.
所以你看，这里不但有一个罪得遮盖的这个主题在这。代偿的、代赎的、替代的这个概念也开始出来了。
Now we'll take a break, and we'll look at the next expansion of this doctrine of redemption, of substitution, how it expands through the Old Testament, until finally we come to the person of the Lord Jesus, who fulfills all these things in His own sacrifice.
然后紧跟着我们先休息一下，我们会继续把这个主题讲完。你会看见的，随着旧约的往前推进呢，这样的一个主题关于救恩呢，它不停地往里加内容，比如说献祭，比如说代偿。当把这些内容讲完全之后呢，新约耶稣基督来，你会发现他把所有这些点全部一一都满足了。
God is using the Old Testament as kind of an elementary primer textbook.For us as children, as we learn through the Old Testament picture book, till we come to the New Testament where we actually see God's man step forward, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
所以旧约就有点像神给的初级教材，小学教材。然后你在这里呢，你先学，先明白，直到呢最后你看见了真的神的羔羊，除去世人罪孽，就是耶稣基督的时候。你这个功课就完成。喂，好，我们一起来做一个祷告啊！我们的天上的父，谢谢您赐给我们这宝贵的真理啊，也让我们认识您，借着耶稣基督的救恩，是吧？求您帮助我们，当我们在翻开这本圣经的时候，让我们看见里面的亮光，也让我们知道这是一本合一的书，从。创世到最后，您都是一点一点来启示我们，让我们看见，您为我们预备的，是万事已先，在您的爱中就已经准备好的。谢谢您，祝福我们一会儿的饮食，祷告奉主耶稣基督的圣名。
Amen。
我们的天上的父，谢谢您给我们时间，一起聚集。学习您的话语，求您帮助我们开我们的心，让我们能够顺服，也让我们能明白这既要的真理，就是耶稣基督
代赎的真理，祷告奉主耶稣基督的名，阿门。
Maybe I can just say a few words before it starts again.
这个补充一点哈，在我们开始之前。
We've been studying the Bible, and the Bible, you know, is the eternal Word of God. It's eternal as God is eternal. These words were in the mind and the heart of God even before He created the heavens and the earth. He knew everything. He knew you. He knew me.
所以我们知道圣经是永恒的话，因为神的话呢都是永恒的。永恒就意味着是没有时空的。这就意味着他还没有造万有之前呢，他就知道你知道我，他就已经明白也预先想好了这一切的方式。
And it's called the living word. You know, a living something that's living is active. It's not a passive thing where you just you know read it and it's just that's it. It's got no meaning in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years.But it's active. It doesn't through the ages as we read from the beginning, from Adam and Eve, right to the end, where Eric's going to take us about the thing that moves through this Bible. It's alive, you know. It just comes and grabs people's hearts like that. It grabbed my heart a long time ago when I read this that God loved me so much, and He sent His Son Jesus to die for my sins. It grabs you.And it won't let you go.
所以这也是一个活的话语，活就意味着它是主动的，它是有力量的，它不是被动的，它不是死的。所以从创世纪到启示录，它一直是一个动态的往前进的过程。就像我被神得到的时候，他说神也是把我从死里复活，那我有一个新造的人在里面，他是会成长。这是一个活的话语，不是一个被动的。
You know, many people have tried to destroy God's word.
很多人努力想要毁掉神的话。
And many people have tried to distort God's word.
也或者想去扭曲他的话。
But the scientists have taken this book and they run it through a computer.Even though many, many different authors are in this book, but the personality and the character is the same from the beginning to the end of this book.
所以呢，如果我们从头到底来查考、细查考这书呢，虽然有不同的作者，就像刚才 Eric 说的，但是呢，他显出来的个性、显出来的信息，在这本书里是一样的。
These are not just the words of man.
所以它不单单是人的话。
Because man's character and personality are reflected in his writing. But this is the reflection of God and his heart and his personality and his character.
因为人写东西的时候一定是反映他自己里面那个人呢，就是他的个性，他的所思所想。所以这样的一个书合一在一起，你就知道他背后是一直在反映或者表达那个终极的那作者神。
Now Jesus calls us his little children.
所以耶稣把我们称作他的孩子，他的小孩子。
Just like we have little children, and our little children need to learn lots. They're growing up, and we must teach them. And we are God's children, and God wants to teach us through His word.
就像我们都有孩子，他也会长大，我们也要教导他。我们也都是神的孩子，我们也需要吃粮长大，神也要教导我们。
And you know, if we really truly believe in our heart that this is the Word of God, then we will not doubt the Word of God. We know that God means everything good for us.
如果我们真的相信神，这是神出于神的，我们就会知道它是真的，然后这是出于神的真理，就是立志先相信。
He wants to teach us about Himself. He wants to teach us all good things.Relating to our lives, how we should live and how we should conduct ourselves, how we should think, how we should feel, what we should eat. You know, all these things, God is concerned about us.
他在乎我们的方方面面，他从我们该怎么生活，该吃什么，该做什么， 这些他都想要告诉我们，所以他特别盼望要教导我们。
And you know something, as we're growing up and as we're learning the Word of God, sometimes people get off onto a different path and they start questioning the Bible. They think that there's contradictions from here to there to here to there to there.
我们知道呢，当我们学这个圣经的时候呢，慢慢慢慢会有人就开始走出两条不同的路，有的人就开始质疑，所以这里有矛盾，那里有问题。
There is something wrong with us, not with this word. This is perfect, okay? We are not perfect.
所以这里出问题的不是这本书，这本书是完美的，是我们自己，我们有问题，我们不是完美。
So our understanding is not perfect at times.
所以我们对书的理解就是不是特别完美。
Now, you know Bill Whiting, he used to come here, maybe a lot of you know him. And we go to visit him, he's not very far from here. And many times he tells us that there's contradictions in the Bible. And so last time we went to him and he was complaining, he said, you know, Isaiah wrote that, maybe I can just read that out to you, in Isaiah chapter 6.
对，他就说呢，他们经常会去看一个老弟兄 Bill 啊，那他离这不远，然后他们去的时候就老弟兄有的时候会跟他们抱怨说，哎，圣经还是有一些矛盾的，比方说以赛亚书六章。
It says in the very first verse in chapter 6 of Isaiah, it says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up." And his train was filled with the temple. Now, Bill was saying, he said, Jesus said that no man, in John chapter 1, he said, no man has seen God. Okay? He said here, in Isaiah, it says, Isaiah, it says, King, in the year Uzziah, he said, died, I saw the Lord. So he's saying that Isaiah saw the Lord.
所以比方说呢，他说比方说以赛亚书六章一节，当乌西亚王崩的那一年，我见主坐在高高的宝座上，他的衣裳垂下遮满圣殿。然后他说在约翰福音里一章说没有人见过神，那既然没有人见过神，在新约约翰福音讲过，那为什么旧约的以赛亚书六章一节说乌西亚王崩的那一年先知以赛亚看见神了？
And I said to him, Bill, I said it's not a contradiction, I said you're thinkingis the problem. I said, your understanding is the problem, not the word of God. Okay? When he saw the Lord high and lifted up, he saw him in the spirit. You know, we don't have a very good understanding of what a spirit, but we read in the Lord's word that a spirit can hear and they can see. Okay? So when Isaiah's in the spirit,He's not in his physical body, seeing the Lord with his physical body and his physical eyes, he would just disintegrate. You cannot stand before God and see him. Okay, that's the truth.
所以第六章呢，其实是以赛亚先知的那个时候是在灵里啊，他并不是在他的肉体里见到神的，因为我们在肉体里没有办法见神，这是一个客观的事实。那在灵里呢，它其实是并不是我们所能想象的那个方式看见的。
There are many things that you understand now, and there are many things that you don't understand now. But as you grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus, they say that you can open up any page in this Bible, and you will see Jesus on that page.
所以很多时候我们是所知的有限呢。有的解经学者说，当我们翻开是圣经，我们每一页都能看见耶稣基督。
So we must keep our eyes on Jesus all the time.
当我们把眼目盯在耶稣基督身上啊，随时随刻。
We ourselves will fail, our friends will fail, our neighbors will fail, our relatives will fail us, and we will fail them. But He will never fail us.
我们可能会使自己家人失望，使邻居失望，别人也可能使我们失望。但是耶稣从来不让我们失望。
You remember when Peter saw Jesus on the water, walking on the water, And Peter said to him, Lord, if it's really you, call me out. And he called him out, and Peter started walking on the water. His eyes were on the Lord Jesus. And then when he saw the waves and the storm, he took his eyes off of Jesus. We're going to have a lot of storms in our life. We're going to have a lot of problems in our life. When we take our eyes off of Jesus and we start focusing our eyes on all the troubles and this, you know, all the things that we have in life, the storms of our life, then, you know, we're going to get into a lot of trouble. And then Jesus grabbed him by the hand again. We must keep our eyes on the Lord all the time.
所以就像耶稣有一次在海面行走的时候，彼得看见他说，主啊，如果是你呢，就让我也从海面走过去，就是说你来吧。然后彼得也走了一小段，然后当他的眼睛盯着耶稣的时候呢，他就能走。当他眼睛看周围的风浪和海水的时候呢，他就掉下去了。然后这就告诉我们呢，我们的一生啊，我们眼目唯独盯在主身上，才能走在地上成圣的路。
As the Word of God tells us that we are saved by grace, and we must live a life of grace.
像圣经说的，我们是借着恩典得救啊，我们也是在恩典里过这一生的。
And this grace was, it doesn't matter how much God loved us, okay? We're still sinners. But His grace came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
所以不管怎么样呢，我们都是罪人啊，所以耶稣基督呢，是恩典和真理是由他来的。
So continue to learn.
继续学。
Lots to learn.
学神的圣经。
Do not doubt in your heart for one second even.
所以在你里面呢，不要怀疑啊，甚至一秒钟也不用怀疑的。
Okay, sir.
To Genesis chapter 22.
我们来创世纪的二十二章来看。
So we continue to look at the the idea of God's salvation.
这是神救恩的表现。
Already we've been introduced to the word substitution.
所以我们已经学习了这个词叫代赎。
Whereby we've seen that the sacrifice, the innocent sacrifice, gives its life for the sinner.
这个的意义呢，就是一个无罪的祭物呢，把自己的生命献上，为了罪人。
And these are unwilling sacrifices.
但是这些的祭物呢，是不愿意的。
In Genesis chapter 22, we're going to look at a different thing, where it's probably one of the clearest pictures we get in the Old Testament concerning the.Offering of the Lord Jesus willingly on the cross.
然后创世纪二十二章呢，可能是旧约里面最接近一个自愿把自己当做祭物献上，就是耶稣基督的这个形象这样的一个比喻啊。
Now, like if you would,
这样的一个故事表明。
If to read around, we could start here and read verses 1 to 14.
我们一节一节读啊。
1 to 14, we'll read around, so you have the context of the few things that we're going to comment on.
那我们看一下创世纪二十二章，我们读一节到十四节，我们一节一节用中文读啊，然后我们来解一下。这些事以后，神要试验亚伯拉罕，就呼叫他说：“亚伯拉罕，他说我在这里。”
神说：“你带着你的儿子。”就是你独生的儿子，你所爱的以撒，往亚摩利地去，在我所要指示你的山上，把它献为燔祭。
亚伯拉罕清早起来，背上驴， 带着两个仆人和他儿子以撒，也劈好了燔祭的柴，就起身往神所指示他的地方去了。
到了第三日，亚伯拉罕举目远远地看见那地方。亚伯拉罕对他的仆人说，你们和驴在此等候，我与童子往那里去拜一拜，就回到你们这里来。
亚伯拉罕把燔祭的柴放在他儿子以撒身上，自己手里拿着火与刀，于是二人同行。以撒对他父亲亚伯拉罕说，父亲啊。亚伯拉罕说，我儿，我在这里。以撒说，请看，火与柴都有了，但愿燔祭的羊羔在哪里呢？
亚伯拉罕说，我儿，神必自己预备做燔祭的羊羔，与二人同行。
他们到了神所指示的地方，亚伯拉罕在那里筑坛，把柴摆好，捆绑他的儿子以撒，放在坛的台上。
亚伯拉罕就伸手拿刀要杀他的儿子。
耶和华的使者从天上呼叫他说，亚伯拉罕，亚伯拉罕。他说，我在这里。
天使说，你不可在这童子身上下手，一定不可害他。现在我知道你是敬畏神的了，因为你没有将你儿子，就是你独生的儿子留下出给他。
亚伯拉罕举目观看，不料有一只公羊两脚扣在丛林的小树中，亚伯拉罕就取了那只公羊来献为燔祭，带给他儿子。
亚伯拉罕给那地方起名叫耶和华以勒，直到今日。人还说，在耶和华的山上必有预备。耶和华的使者。
那我们先停在这。
Okay. Now, so this story, I'll make a couple of comments about it first before we look at a picture.
那我们先做一点评论啊，我们就可以看见一个图景。
First of all, we've been studying how to understand the scripture.
因为呢，我们一直在学习怎么理解圣经。
Now, this is a very straightforward story, is it not?
所以这是一个特别直接的，字面就能理解的故事，不是吗？
God has been dealing with Abraham for many years.
所以神一直在带领亚伯拉罕很多年了。
At least 25 years, Abraham has been walking with God.
那至少25年的亚伯拉罕是跟随神。
God had promised him that he would have, that he would become a great nation. If he left Ur of the Chaldees, he'd become a great nation. Kings would come from him, and the whole world would be blessed.By Abraham.
因为神应许亚伯拉罕，只要他出了加勒底的乌尔啊，他到迦南地区呢，神会应许他有很多的后裔，王这一支要从他出来。
The problem was Abraham didn't have any children.
但问题那个时候亚伯拉罕连孩子都没有。
So how could his seed fulfill the promises of God? He needed children to do that.
那他没有后裔，他怎么成就神的应许呢？
And so, we know the story. He said, well, I have a servant in my house. He was born in my house. He's not my son. He's my heir, because I have no sons. He's my heir. Is he the one that's going to fulfill your promises?
那第一次呢，亚伯拉罕跟神说，那这样，我家里有一个仆人。那他呢是我的义子啊，他是我的养子，我没有后裔，但是他生在我家，所以我已经收了他做养子。那这样的话，他就能继承我的产业，就满足了你的这个预言了。
God said no.
神说不是。
Of the fruit of your own body is going to be the heir.
他说你从你生的才是你的后裔。
And so his wife now got into the act.
然后这时候他的妻子就进来又来帮忙了。
Said Abraham, if God is going to fulfill His promises, I'm barren. I can't have any children.
因为撒拉说呢，那我是没有不能生育的，不能生孩子。
Plus I'm 90 years old.
不但如此，我都90岁了。那就对，更不能了。
So he said, here's my handmaid, my Egyptian handmaid. You take her to be a wife, and then she will have a child for me, and I'll adopt it as my own.
那这个撒拉就说，那像我有个女仆是埃及的，那你呢就收了她做妾呢，那你她生的 我就领养做我的孩子。
Sure enough, Ishmael was born.
所以这样的方式呢，生了一个孩子叫以实玛利。
But God said, no, that's not.
但神还说呢，不，这还是不对。
Sarah's going to have a child.
他说你必须得撒拉生才是你的。
And sure enough, at 90 years of age, Sarah gave birth.
但神的话呢就总成成就，所以撒拉90岁呢也能生，也生了个孩子。
And she, when God had said that to her, she laughed. She was in the tent listening.
当神跟亚伯拉罕说这些话的时候呢，撒拉刚好在帐篷里啊，她听见了，她就在那笑。
And she laughed in herself when she heard that God said that she was going to have a child.
所以当她听见神跟亚伯拉罕说亚伯拉罕会有个孩子的时候啊，她就在她心里笑了。
God said to her, "You laughed, didn't you?"
然后神说呢，你笑了。
So no, I didn't laugh.
然后他不承认，他说我没笑。
But anyway, little laughter came along.
所以他们的儿子起名就叫笑。
That's what Isaac means.
以撒的意思翻译过来就是笑。
There was real laughter in that household.
所以这就是他这个名字的来历了。
The son of promise.
一个应许之子啊，就是以撒了。
Not a natural son, but one of promise.
他不是一个自然的肉体而生的，是应许出来的，不单单是肉体生。
One day God says Abraham.
对，有一天呢，神跟亚伯拉罕说。
He said, "Here I am."
亚伯拉罕说，我在这里。
He said, "I want to take you to take your son, who's now about 17 years of age. I want to take you to take your son. I want you to go up to one of the mountains. I'm going to show you it." And I want you to sacrifice him there.
他说呢，我要你带着你的儿子，那时候差不多十七岁啊，你到那个我指定的那座山上去，把他献成祭物燔祭。
What was Abraham to do?
亚伯拉罕该怎么办呢
？That was a test for Abraham, wasn't it?
这对亚伯拉罕是一个试验了。
The very means by which God had said he was going to bless him, he was now going to kill him.
所以神要借着这个来给他后裔的这么样的一个以撒呢，哎，神却让他先去把他献上祭物杀了。
He could have argued with God, couldn't he?
他其实很可能是要跟神要争论一下的，不是吗？
But Lord, this is the means of your blessing, and you want to take it from us. What are we going to do?
亚伯拉罕会说，这神这不是你祝福我的方式吗？怎么你现在要拿走了呢？我该怎么办？
Now, I'm sure that thought passed Abraham's mind.
我相信这样的概念啊，这样的想法一定进到了亚伯拉罕的脑子里。
But what did he do?
那他怎么办呢？
Maybe he had a sleepless night all night long.
也许他有一个就失眠的晚上。
But early the next morning,
第二天一早呢，
Abraham got up.
他清早起来。
He saddled his donkey.
他背上驴。
And he split the wood.
也劈好了燔祭的柴。
He took two young men with him as well, and his Isaac, his son, and they set out for the mount that God had told him of.
也带两个仆人和他的儿子以撒一起。
At the foot of the mountain, he left the two men and the donkey there.
所以在山脚下呢，他就把两个仆人和驴留在那儿了。
And he placed the wood on top of Isaac.
他把这柴呀，都放在以撒的肩膀上。
A heavy, heavy load of wood.
这可是非常重的。
It was need to be sufficient to burn the boy completely to ashes.
这需要有足够的火力，要能够，如果他献上的话，是要烧掉一个身体成灰啊。这个柴的分量是很重的。
It was a staggering load.
是一个特别大的分量。
Especially to climb the mountain.
而且还要爬山。
They're on their way. The son says to the father, "Father, there's the fire. You're carrying a pot of fire, and I've got the wood. Where's the lamb for a sacrifice?"
所以在路上呢，这个以撒就问他爸爸，这个火也有了，刀也有了，但是。那祭物在哪里呢？
What does Abraham say?
亚伯拉罕怎么回答？
God will provide himself a lamb for burnt offering.
他说神必自己预备做燔祭的羊羔。
Now that was the actual conversation. It goes on. He comes up to the top. They both walk together.
对，这个是一个真实的对话，在当时。那他们一直就在路上就在讲嘛。
I think Isaac understood that he was to be the sacrifice.
我相信以撒呢，可能理解了，他就是那祭物了。
Because how could a 100-some-odd-year-old man take an unwilling 17-year-old, tie him up and put him on an altar, unless he was willing?
怎么可能一个一百多岁的老人家去把一个十七岁的壮小伙绑起来去放到祭坛上，这是不可能的，除非这个小伙自己愿意。
Isaac understood he was the son of promise.
因为以撒知道他是那应许之子。
So just further, the New Testament gives us a little understanding into the thinking of Abraham and Isaac probably.
那新约呢也给了我们一些这个理解哈，就
Hebrews chapter 11。
那希伯来书十一章，新约希伯来书十一章，新约的397页。
And here we get this explanation. We'll continue to read verse 17, Hebrews 11, 17, 18, and 19.
我们继续读十七、十八、十九三节，希伯来书十一章，新约的397，从十七读到十九，刚才停在。
17, 18, and 19.
希伯来书十七章，十一章十七节。对。
亚伯拉罕因着信，被试验的时候，就把以撒献上，这便是那发喜领受应许的，将自己独生的儿子献上。
这边是亚伯拉罕曾有话说，从以撒生的才要称为你的后裔。
他以为神还能叫人从死里复活，他也仿佛从死中得回他的儿子来。
So there we see, don't we, exactly what we've been talking about.
所以我们看见啊，这就在讲我们刚才说的那个事情了。
He was going to sacrifice his only son, the only son of promise.
他要把他自己应许的那唯一的儿子献上做祭物。
But what was Abraham's faith?
那什么是亚伯拉罕的信心呢？
He knew that God had promised that it was through Isaac that the promises would be fulfilled.
因为他知道神说呢，一定要借着以撒这个应许才能够实现。
He also knew that if he killed Isaac, unless God raised him from the dead, those God's promises would not be fulfilled.
他也意识到，如果他把以撒杀了，除非神能使以撒从死里复活，否则神的这个应许就断了。
So Abraham reasoned that God could raise him from the dead and would raise him from the dead.
所以亚伯拉罕知道神会也能够使以撒从死里复活。
Now, so that's why they went together and God didn't allow.
这就为什么他们也有在信心里也往前走了，虽然神最后没有许可这件事情发生。
Abraham was about to take that knife, the sacrificial knife, and what they would do is slit the animal's throat.
所以亚伯拉罕准备要用那个杀祭物的刀去杀以撒。
And Abraham, with the hardest thing that he'd ever did in his life, would be put the knife to the throat of his only son.
所以你可以想象亚伯拉罕要用这把刀来割他儿子的喉咙。
But God said stop.
神说停。
Abraham.
他说亚伯拉罕，亚伯拉罕停。
Don't lay your hand on your son.
不要把你的手放在孩子身上。
Now I know.
现在我知道。
He passed the test.
他过了这个测试。
So God reconfirmed his covenant with Abraham and expanded it.
所以神
又再一次重新也证实了建立了他和亚伯拉罕的约，而且扩展了。
But again God had a sacrifice. God provided a sacrifice there.
而且再一次呢，神也有一个祭物在那提供了。
Abraham looked, he heard a sound, and he looked, and there was a ram caught by his horns in a thicket of thorns.
所以亚伯拉罕抬头一看呢，看见那个树丛里有一只羊，他的脚被荆棘缠住了。
And so there was a substitute for his beloved Isaac.
所以这就是那替代啊，代替他那爱子的那只羊。
And so we see the blood sacrifice there. God claimed Isaac as his own, but he didn't allow him to be taken. He gave a substitute in his place.
所以神呢呼召以撒是他自己的，但是他并没有使以撒死，而是为以撒预备了一个替代来赎他的罪。
But notice what we have there in verse 19 of Hebrews 11. You still want to open there?
注意那个希伯来书十一章的十九节是怎么说的？
He says here, the last part of that.Clause there that, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. Figuratively speaking.
所以用比喻的方式啊，他也认为呢，他可能他觉得神能够使以撒能回来，所以是要死里复活。
See, in a sense, when the victim was bound, Isaac, the victim was bound on the altar. The knife came to his throat.The next moment he would have been dead. So in a sense, in Abraham's mind, his son was dead.
所以在如果他杀了以撒那一刻呢，在亚伯拉罕的认知里，他的脑子里以撒就已经死了。假设。
The Lord said, "No, I'm not. You don't go that far."
所以神说呢，不，你不用走到那一步。
See, God was not looking for God was not looking for Isaac's life. He was looking for Abraham. He wanted Abraham.
所以神要找的其实并不是说他一定要以撒的生命，他其实是要亚伯拉罕的心。
Are you willing to give everything to me, Abraham?
你愿不愿意把你一切都献给神亚伯拉罕？
Now I know you are.
所以神说呢，好，我知道亚伯拉罕，你愿意，我知道了。
The dearest thing in your life you have not withheld from me.
你一生中最宝贵的东西你没有留下不给我。
So that's the story, but there's another story behind the story. It's the figure.
那这个是表面的一个故事，那底下呢还有一个就是它隐藏的隐喻的故事。
Figuratively speaking, there was a resurrection, wasn't there?
那这个隐喻的呢，就是会有一个未来是要复活的，对不对？
In other words, after the victim has been slain, there is resurrection.
就是真的最终的那个祭物，神预备的祭物，如果死了以后，一定会复活的。
So there is a picture of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ as the victim.
这里就是一个所隐藏的预表的。耶稣基督的复活就在这儿。
But we're ahead of ourselves a little bit.
然后我们有一点在。
I want to go back to Genesis 22.
对，我们往前推进了一些，然后我们看再回到创世纪的三章啊，二十二章。
And we want to look at the figurative look now. We've looked at the actual literal meaning of that story.
所以我们已经看了那个字面的完全的。表面的意思啊，现在我们看一下这个它有没有什么象征的含义。
What does it illustrate for us?
它在告诉我们什么呢？
Well, we have a father.
我们都有一个父。
And we have a son.
有一个子在这儿。
It's the only son.
这是他的独生子。
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
我们也熟悉的经文，神爱世人，甚至将他的独生子赐给他们。
We have the father and the son, and they're going to a place of sacrifice.
这里呢，一个父亲跟儿子走去献祭的地方。
The son has a heavy load on his back.
那这个儿子呢，身上有特别重的一个重担。
It says Isaiah prophesying of him says, "Surely he has borne our griefs; he's carried our sorrows."
所以以赛亚书五十三篇说，他诚然担当我们的痛苦，承担我们的忧患。
Jesus came into the world not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom.
那耶稣来的地上不是被服侍，而是要服侍人，乃至死在十架上。
He was the Son.
他就是那圣子。
The Lord Jesus in the garden said, "Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me."
就像耶稣在被卖前的那一天晚上说，父啊，如果可行，求你挪走这杯，这苦杯。
Is there any other way? He is asking. Is there any other way that redemption can be brought about? And the sinner saved, other than me suffering for sin.
有没有其他的方式啊，能够让罪人得着救赎，而不是耶稣要上十字架？
Because his holy soul shrank back from contamination by our sin.
因为他那圣洁的灵魂啊，要被我们的罪的重担所。
Because on the cross, the full load of our sin would be judged.
我们所有的罪的重担都要放在他身上来得着审判。
And so he says, "The fire. You see the fire. That's a picture of judgment, is it not in the scriptures?"
对，他说你看见火，在这里有火和刀。火其实，在圣经里就是代表审判。
Yeah, there's the knife.
刀。
That would be the instrument of death.
这就是死亡的工具了。
Where's the lamb?
他说羊在哪呢？祭物在哪呢？
God's provide a lamb in the promised son.
神应许了一个祭物，一只羊，借着他的应许之子。
And God did not spare his son upon the cross.
所以神并没有留下他的圣子，在十字架上，就是不让他上十字架，并没有。
We read in the New Testament, "He who spared not his son, but gave him up for us all, how shall he not with him also give us freely all things?"
所以新约我们知道，罗马书八章，神既舍了自己的爱子，岂不把万物都白白赐给我们吗？
So what we have in the story of Abraham is God provides, because that's what Abraham calls this place later on.
这就是亚伯拉罕管这个地方叫什么名字哈，叫以勒，耶和华以勒。
Verse 14. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide."
所以亚伯拉罕给那地起名叫耶和华以勒，耶和华必预备的意思。
There's the place.Is a picture of Calvary, where the Lord has provided salvation and blessing for all.
所以这就是各个他山上啊，就是耶稣是神预备来做救恩、来做祭物的。
But that blessing can only be ours because God provided a sacrifice.
这样的一个献祭，只有神来预备这祭物啊。我们才可能接受，才可能有意义。
And ever that's the case, without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins.
因为没有血的代价呢，罪是不能得赦的。
Without the shedding of blood, there can be no provision for blessing.
那没有血的预备和代价呢？就也不可能有祝福。
But it was God who provided that sacrifice.
那是由神预备了这祭物。
And we, what is our place?
那我们呢？我们的地方，我们的位置在哪？
We can only believe.
我只能相信
了。In a God who would go to such extremes for us.
神走了这么多的路啊，已经把我们。他用一个极致的方法把我们该有需要的都预备了。
And on the simple basis of faith, believing God.
我们需要的就是一个相信他，借着信心简单的基础。
It's all ours.
这一切就都是我们的。
Comes on the basis of God's promise.
to us.
借着神的应许给了我们，接受应许就要信心。
And there's no other way to obtain God's salvation.
没有别的方式来得着神给我们的救恩。
Accepting God's way.
除非用神的方式。
And he delights to do that.
他也很喜欢我们这么做。
Because then he's able to express his love because God is love.
因为借着这个方式他还能够表明他的爱因为神就是爱
He loves you.
他爱你
And he's given his promised son for you.
他把他的应许之子赐给你们
He's your substitute.
他就是你们的替代
He went up that Mount Calvary and he laid his life willingly down.
他上了摩利亚山他很自愿的很情愿的把自己的生命献上
But he rose again the third day.
但他三天后复活了
And he's living now.
他今天依然活着
And we'll see, we're going to look some more in the Old Testament, some other pictures that expand what we've already learned.
对，我们还会继续看，我们要继续就约看下去，来看看我们已经讲的真理他会重复，同时呢，他还要继续再扩展，神会加新的内容进来。
Because not only is Scripture unified, it's all one, woven together.
不但呢，圣经是织像织在一起的一个整体啊，合一的。
But these doctrines, these Scripture truths, they are also progressive. They progress through Scripture.
那这个圣经的真理，而且是越往后推移呢，它越多启示的内容越多，它是递进的。
But that's a very clear picture we've just had. We'll look at some others next week.
那这个故事呢已经非常清楚，就在讲未来，耶稣献祭的这么一个故事。我们下周还会继续。
We'll pick it up then.
下周再回到这个话题。
Yes.
Okay. 好，我们一起来祷告啊！我们在天上的父，谢谢您赐给我们这耶稣基督救恩的真理，是吧？让我们明白。您的心意是何等的爱我们，您的一切的动机就是因为爱，父也让我明白，我们在最终的时候，我们对您的认知是何等的偏差和有限，父盼望我们借着这圣经的启示，就如同孩子学习一般，从小到大，从浅到深，从我们的无知到对您爱的全然的认识，父谢谢您，我们这样的祷告和感恩，奉主耶稣基督的名。Amen.